tell me about Jingi. What is Jingi? Boncho.
Boncho, it's a V-cinema series that was released, but a very helpful Yakuza.
Oh, Sho Ayakawa, huh?
Yeah.
By the way, did you see that? Did you watch that video that I sent you with Sho Ayakawa in it?
Which one?
You remember when Patrick was talking about Sho Ayakawa and he mentioned that he was a teen idol at one time?
Yeah,
there was a video I sent you that had that, I forget the name of his group, it's kind of an odd name, but, and actually the video is directed by Sogo Ishii,
Who
did, Panic High School and all that, so,
yeah,
it's a fun video. It's kind of weird music, though. It's kind of like, I guess it's the music of the time, man, the early 80s, so.
Yeah. Well, he was like, I heard he was really big into this, that kind of motorcycle gang 50s style.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And he did a lot of, like, he wrote, like, his own zine or something that got pretty famous.
Oh, he had his own zine, too?
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
But I've tried to track down his music when he was in those kind of bands, you know, but there's nothing.
Yeah, I think there was only that one group, that one that I sent you, you know, that became kind of famous. I forget the name of Ichibun something or whatever. I can't remember. But because they actually have, you know, they actually had music videos and stuff. Well, like the Sogo Ishii one. But if you look them up on YouTube, there are a few more. And apparently they had like enough albums. And, can we get over here?
You know, I'm not going to order any food. I just want a Coke.
Yeah. I have a mini tekadon, and then
half tekadon,
half, yeah, sorry, and then order of inari. Inari sushi. That's it. Thank you. So if you look on YouTube, they have some other videos and stuff, and they had like several albums, and they even had a greatest hits album, so I mean, they had at least 2 hits.
Oh, really?
Oh, just like every other American band back in the 80s, right? It's like, oh, I remember that one song, I don't remember all the air ones, you know? They're all B-sides and remixes. Yeah.
They had a lot of those Jingi movies, I mean, the B-cinema films at People, right over here.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. But I don't know if they got rid of them, because they did, you know, it's changed hands or something.
Yeah.
And they did a kind of a, have you seen the symbol now? It's like a wolf or something on it? I don't know what does that mean.
Yeah, I don't know, yeah.
Because I know they do very well with their porno section.
Yeah. Well, it's the biggest section in the whole place.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, I always felt weird when I went in there, and I would be like the only foreigner in there, like renting videos, and then everybody else that was, like American or whatever, would go in and they just go straight to the back. But here I would be like grabbing actual Japanese films, and everybody else would be grabbing the pornos.
So the clerks probably would take your badge and say, "Oh, I hope you know these aren't pornos."
Turn it into a little situation.
Even when I was in Japan, I used to go down to, the local rental stores or Tsutaya, you know?
Yeah.
And all those V-cinema videos, you know, just lined up and, like, you know, outside the store, they always sell them, you know? It's like sometimes like 100 yen each or 200 yen each or something like that, you know? Yeah, that's crazy. I really felt like I wanted to, you know, build up a collection, but how am I going to get them home, you know?
Yeah. Well, people used to do those poster giveaways. Like, they'd have a big bulk bin with all the posters that they had, and they had a lot of V-cinemas one day, so I just, like, took all of them. So, like, I have a lot of them, but I don't think I have any ones with Aikawa Show, but I have a lot of with Ricky on them.
Right.
It's pretty funny. Burning in flames, or, like, showing off his tattoo with a gun.
Yeah, they're like that. He's got that little sneer on his face.
Kind of Elvis thing.
So, like Patrick said, did any of those videos turn out to be treasures, do you think? Or was all crap, basically?
No, some of them were good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But, you know, you're not going to get a lot of it. It's just straight to video. It's filmed with, like, just, you know, handheld cameras sometimes,
yeah, yeah.
And then maybe just digital camera.
Yeah.
Like, no filters.
Right, really cheap
Nothing
stuff.
Special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, it was the 80s, so you had a lot of white suits and pink shirts. Yeah, 80s were definitely an interesting time all over the world.
But they also had, I remember they had a, the film House, they had it on videotape the last time I went in there. And then they had House Part 2.
Yeah, there was a movie that, I don't think it was meant to be a House Part 2. It was just, they dubbed it. Yeah, that's mine. Thank you.
And Inari Sushi?
But I don't think they originally filmed it to be the sequel, but, you know, it's like they thought they could, they could make a little money off of it, so, you know, why not? Well, have a piece if you like, man.
No, you go ahead, you're starving. I'm so cold.
Yeah, that was one gigantic,
Well, I mean, I'm...
That's scary, huh?
I'm just...
I can't remember getting my ticket.
The portion size is so huge.
I just gotta remember to get my ticket out. I always forget.
Oh, yeah, here.
It's crazy the theater doesn't validate.
Yeah, you know, the only place it validates is VGA Market for $30 or more.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Wow.
You have to spend over $30. Unless you get someone nice at the counter, then they don't care.
No wasabi, okay. But the restaurants here do, don't they?
Sure.
I'll ask.
My friend Dave that owns a tea shop, he didn't.
Oh.
Oh, did you see what's there now?
What?
You know, did you ever see that tea shop in the corner?
Oh, yeah.
They had Chinese and Japanese tea, but, you know, he's gone now. So it's, and then, you know, it's Anderson's Bakery, and then right next door is Taido or Taido. What is it?
Yeah, that record store.
That's been
cassette there. Store.
Yeah, yeah. And they have a lot of Inca, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of titles that you're like, what?
Yeah.
Like old Hamasaki mini CDs.
Yeah.
But anyway, in the tea shop now is a Viz K shop. You know, like Visual K? Visual
K,
you know? Like,
No way.
And it's separated. There's a partition in that little tiny shop where one half is a few CDs and some makeup stuff. And then the other half is like a computer set up with a big microphone. I think the guy, and it says something radio. So I think it's like some kind of internet radio.
Or, internet radio, really?
Or some kind of, I don't know, can you, is it hard to get an actual broadcast license these days for real FM or AM broadcast?
No, it's not.
Because that used to be a radio station. That's where the Japanese radio station used
Back
to be.
Back in the day, yeah. I heard about that. I think, no, it's not difficult to get a license. You just have to go through training, and then you have to register through the station that trains you. Very simple. Unless things have changed. I mean, I have a license.
Oh, okay.
Well, I used to do college radio. So.
Unless they're running a pirate station.
Yeah. Well, they're all pirate stations, actually. But, I don't know about it. I don't think internet radio, I don't think you need one.
Oh, okay. Well, you know they're trying to pass that law now for the licensing for songs that radio stations have to pay a percentage. It's so ridiculous.
Well, it's like it's typical music industry trying to squeeze every little cent they can out of people.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know, and it's somewhat understandable, too, because they know that a lot of people are pirate and bootleg nowadays, right?
Oh, yeah,
So, they have to find some way to make money, you know?
I heard, you know, like, the move from, like, manga to digital, like, digital forms of manga are really popular in Japan now. They're getting more popular. Even, like, you know, Shonen Jump, the big phone book, they said that maybe in 5 years that eventually will be gone as a format, and it'll only be, like, digital downloads for your, like, cell phone or something.
Yeah, or maybe the iPad or... Because I don't think they... Oh, they are selling the Amazon one. The Kindle. But it doesn't have... I heard it doesn't have very good support for, like, kanji and stuff. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, I heard about that, too.
Yeah, so there's a lot of sites in Japan now that you can download not legally, but like photoed, you know, JPEGs of all the mangas, right? But an even cheaper version of it I found on YouTube. Have you noticed the ladies? Like, go to YouTube and you know, like, because my computer's set up for Japanese, so somehow when I go to YouTube, it automatically takes me to all the Japanese YouTubes of the day, right?
Yeah.
So, like,
it detects your settings. Yeah.
Yeah. So for the, like, the last whatever, you know, months, or even like for the, like, the most popular videos on YouTube of the month or the day have been people filming, like, scanned images of Shonen Jump, right, with a little bit of music on the background, and having them, like, just like the page turn, like visually or something, just going to the next picture, like just scans of magazines, so like people like on their cell phones can like look at them. It's so weird.
But you know what, though? They'll save a lot of trees.
Hey, yeah, I know.
Because you know how big those damn manga are. God. They're bigger than phone books.
I know, but some of them are done so cheap, the pages are half-turned, you can't read it. And they're just like, people take them with the, like, if someone opened up, like, Shonen Jump and took photos with their cell phone, and then had it all shipped home, like, and then put it together with music. But, you know, you go to YouTube and there's so many of these.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
I'll check it out. Did they give a name to them? Like, you know, in Japan, everything's got to have a cute name to it, you know?
Oh, you mean the actual guy that does it? Or like the name of...
No, like the name of the whole concept. Like video manga, you know, Bideman or something like that. Yeah.
Cheap bootleg. I'm surprised they haven't.
It's like if you're on the train looking at your cell phone, people will say, "Hey, what are you doing?" You know, reading manga.
It's got music to it. I think that's the funniest.
It's kind of neat, though. You know, I mean, it's like kind of typical of the culture nowadays. People take something and make it sort of their own and create their own things out of it, you know?
Well, something in me just told me that, like, I thought that that would have been the opposite, like, as far as, like, printed manga, that that would never leave, like, you know, like, popularity would never decline. Kind of like people in Japan, they still use fax machines, you know? I was in Japan in 2005, and, like, the family I stayed with, they had just bought a fax machine, a brand new one.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
I remember the first time I applied for a job there. You know, they said, oh, yeah, you know, you just got to fill out an application and send your resume. I said, okay, can I just come up and pick up an application? They said, oh, well, what's your fax number? I'm like, fax? People still use fax here, you know? It's like, do people even, I mean, people still use it here in the States sometimes. Companies do.
Yeah, companies do.
But, yeah, I can't believe in here. Because you can fax on your computer.
Yeah, just send a photocopy or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that, you know, it wasn't like a couple years ago that mini disc finally declined.
Yeah. I still have my mini disc player.
Yeah, mini disc player, they're cool.
Well, I mean, leave it to Japan, because, you know, Japan is a place where that, I think it was one of the few places in the world where ISDN was common.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Yeah. Because I would tell people, like, because when I first got internet, I had an ISDN connection, and people were like, what's that? I said, well, it's kind of like between dial-up and, you know, high speed, you know. They're like, oh, we didn't know there was such a thing, you know, like that.
Yeah, I remember when that band, The Future Sounds of London, they did a live broadcast via that
ISDN?
Yeah, ISDN connection. It was a big deal. Like, oh, this future, this is totally live broadcast on the internet. It was like the first time anyone ever done it.
It's two times faster than dial-up.
Yeah.
I think it was a little faster than that.
Oh, really?
I can't remember the exact speed. I just remember it was expensive as hell. Because I stayed in this place where it was like... If I remember correctly, it was like midnight to 6. it was just one rate, you know. You could use it as long as you wanted, just had to pay like 500 yen or something. But if you used it from the peak hours, it was like 1 hour was like 500 yen or something like that, you know. And I found out later, which is expensive, but I did find out later that with dial-up, because a friend of mine had dial-up, he said it used to be more expensive. He said like 1 minute would be like, I think it was like 50 yen or something like that, or 60 yen. It's like, if you want to check your email, it's like you got to like be as efficient as possible. You know, it's like put in your password, you know. And, Hurry up. Don't waste my 100 yen.
That's fine.
I heard internet cafes, the price to use them, or the rates, I should say, have gone down.
Oh, in Japan? Oh, okay.
It used to be expensive. Like, 1 hour, like, sen or something like that, 1,000 yen.
And I also heard that they changed a lot of the interiors for a lot of them, because some of them had like closed rooms,
mm-hmm.
right? So that there was no air or anything. And they had those people that died in Osaka because that guy lit that one on fire. He threw that gasoline inside of one, and all those people died inside of it.
I didn't hear about that.
Because
when
they couldn't escape.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Two years ago, I think.
I can imagine that. Some of those places, yeah, it's like there's hardly any windows or anything. They're dark.
Well, the guy didn't follow any building codes, and the guy just wanted to open up an internet cafe with 20 rooms, right? And it was like, you know, in one of those weird-shaped buildings.
There are many of those in Japan.
One way in, one way out.
One of the million.
So now they don't have, like, you know, even, and also they said that some kids were having, you know, doing other things besides reading.
Right.
They'd go in there as a couple.
Right, yeah.
Spend some time.
Well, that's what they had the same sort of complaints about the manga Kisa also.
Yeah. So now they say a lot of them have, like, Western-style doors, you know, like, all open and stuff. So.
Hey, it's cheaper than a Love Hotel. That's all I gotta say. Thank you. Love Hotel. You ever been to one?
What, a Love Hotel? I always wanted to go. I never been. Tried to get my girlfriend to go. She wasn't.
Probably not.
I think it's the whole, like, performance anxiety goes along with that.
Actually, they're really comfortable.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they're really nice. Better than... We've stayed in a business hotel before.
Oh, yeah. I like business hotels.
Yeah, but they're more comfortable.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's why a lot of salarymen, like if they're, you know, if they're on patrol, so to speak, uh-huh. you know, they're walking around visiting different clients and stuff, uh-huh. take a nap in one of them.
Oh, okay. Really?
They are comfortable, yeah. And they have, like, baths and all that.
They're not... You don't feel like something, like... sticky floors, or you feel kind of grossed out or something?
Well, I've never had that experience.
Yeah, okay.
I've been in a few, but, you know. I never had to, like, second guess what I was touching or whatever, experiencing.
Well, you go to Tokyo and they have, you go to, you know, Dogenzaka, mm-hmm. that one street, and then you go to Love Hotel Hill,
mm-hmm.
and I would just go there to walk around because it's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's like Vegas up there. They got, like, the Statue of Liberty one.
And, yeah, one that looks like castles and stuff like that. You know? Well, not in Dogenzaka, but... Yeah, they're always kind of, like, impressive, like how...
Mm. And discreet entrances.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of them have, like, I haven't seen any, but there's some that supposedly have, like, garages underneath.
Yeah.
Go under and park. And
one that I went to, they actually had a buffet.
You see other people, though? I guess, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, it's like, I guess, you know, people just get their stuff and go back up to their room, you know?
Oh, okay.
I just hung out and just kind of, you know, I ate a little bit. Because there weren't any tables. Mm-hmm. Just, I guess you'd come down and get whatever you want at whatever time, you know? You know, it's just like typical Japanese food, you know? It's like the onigiri and you know, tsukemono and miso soup. It wasn't like anything like heavy, you know, no curry rice or anything.
So, you know, I've seen books that show ones from the 80s, you know, and the system was like similar to a vending machine. Like, you'd put the money in and the rooms would be lit up on a board and you'd press the room button and the keys would drop out.
Yeah.
Is that... or is there a person you had to deal with?
I've had both. I've experienced both before.
Okay.
Usually it's a person, though. Oh, and, okay. You know, someone who's, you know, they're really nice, you know. They're not like, it seems like they're very scripted in what they can say, you know?
Oh, okay.
So they have like, they probably say the same thing over and over again to the customer. So, hello, okay, it's this much money, and then thank you. So it's very minimalistic transaction, you know? And then, yeah, we did the, like coin op fee type of thing.
Oh, okay, kind of funny. Yeah, that's funny.
It's kind of funny because it's like, it's set up like the, what do they call it? The shokken, you know? The meal tickets, you know, when you go to the restaurants and you know, you got the pictures of the beef curry or ramen or whatever, and you choose the one. Same thing, but, you know, the buttons are bigger. They got a picture of the actual room.
Like a theme? Each one's a theme?
Like, so it'll show, like, you know, like, they'll usually show off, like, one or two things that are really nice about there. Like, it's had a nice bath. This one's had a nice view. One time, they had one place where they actually had a rotemburo, you know, the outside bath and stuff. So it's kind of nice, and then you just, you know, say how long you're going to stay and all that, you know. Or I think it was a single rate, so it was like you could stay for until a certain time, you know. And then,
does the timer go off or something? Or?
Yeah. It'll actually be like a chime, you know, so you know, when your time is up, basically. Uh-huh. And then after that, you know, they clean up the room.
Hose it off.
Yeah. Maybe burn it down. Excuse me.
Did you turn the TV on to see what was on? Because I heard sometimes those places have cameras filming in the other room.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that was real or is that somebody's, like, made-up thing or something.
I've never been to one of those places, but, you know, it's like I heard it's real anyway. I mean, I hope that wasn't in one of those places. Not like I have anything to hide, but, you know.
So, like, last time I went to Dobunzaka, like, I walked for fun, you know, I was walking around Love Hotel Hill. And then I was walking down the hill, and shops started getting kind of normal. I seen this one that said cafe, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh, I'm kind of thirsty.
Thirsty for what?
So I walk in, and the guy, the place was like, the whole place is painted with real shiny gloss paint. And like, it just was weird. Right, this is the whole feeling of it was weird. The dark colors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of like Yakuza guy with chains, like he jumped up, right? Like he was like startled to see me, and he's like, oh, damn it, like that. And then I looked to my right, and there was on the wall was costumes all hanging up on the wall, like different ones, like policewoman, you know, air hostess, like orca nurse, all kinds of them. And then I look further in the corner of my... I look over, and then there's, like, these rooms with, like, shower curtains, and this girl jumps up, and she's dressed kind of, like, in some... I don't know, like, just normal clothes or something. But... And then there were prices and a menu, and the guy told me this is a... You know, Gaikokujin wo dame desu. You know, he's, like, all telling me... I'm like, oh, hi, what the hell? You know, and then I left or whatever, but... Yeah, it was like some kind of
Shibuya? That's weird.
Yeah, right next to Dobunzaka.
I would expect that to be in like Akihaba
or like Kabukicho or something.
Yeah, right, somewhere in Shinjuku.
Yeah, no, I was really, that's why, you know, and then it was something, I couldn't read the kanji, it was something cafe, so I didn't.
It's probably some like archaic Japanese for like for like fun.
but the outside of it was painted. It was like the design of it was like looked like Kizuten, like old fashioned style, like windows and stuff. But you couldn't see through them.
Probably it's a case that thank you. It's probably the case that that you have to be like in the know, that kind of place, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like a. I don't want to say like a private club, but you know, there's some places in Japan where if you wander in there like you did, you know, they're automatically going to tell you like, oh, I'm sorry, like we're closed or something.
Yeah.
But it's not that they're closed, it's they're closed to you as an outsider. You
gotta
be an
yeah.
outsider, you know? Even so, even the Mahjong places are kind of like that.
Yeah.
Because I play Mahjong and I tried playing one time and then... you know, the guy, he probably already knew I was a foreigner or whatever, but, you know, he just said, like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I think he called it, like, a tea club or something, like, oh, we're closed or something, you know, I'm like, oh, really? I'm like, oh, that's too bad, you know.
I think I'm going to have to owe you a dollar, is that okay?
I'll get it, dude, don't worry.
I'll at least give you a dollar. There you go.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. And you know, like, I read in the past a lot about, like, those health clubs, right? I've never seen one before, so the last time I was in Japan, it was like... Another thing that I'd seen and never seen before, like, and actually it was called Soap Planet. Like, I didn't even know that they could even call them that.
They didn't hide it.
Yeah, that chain went bankrupt or went out of business or something, right?
No, I've seen, well, I've never seen something blatantly called Soap Land.
Yeah.
But I have seen Soap Booth.
Oh, okay.
You know, which is just... like half a step away from Soap Club,
yeah.
But still.
But it was funny because it's actually it was another one that was in Shibuya.
Mm-hmm.
Like the main strip, not too far. You know, like Mandarake, like in Shibuya,
yeah.
And then there's the Tokyo Hands or whatever.
Yeah, on the hill.
Like,
yeah.
Like a block down, like above a T-shirt shop. They had a crazy T-shirt shop that had pictures like. He's really weird. They had R2D2 shirt or whatever, like, and I went in there to go see R2D2 shirts or whatever. But, you know, like, I missed the shop and I went up one extra level, and then I was like, oh, I saw the sign, and they actually, it was the first and only place I ever seen that actually had a sign that said Gaikokujin. It said it in kanji,
right.
And then it actually said below it, and the time it said foreigner, it had a circle line through it, and it had the two, you know, the two hands, like the dame hands for like 18
right.
or older.
Right.
I never seen like a no foreigner sign before. It was like the only one.
You can keep change. Do you guys validate?
No, we don't.
Okay, we go.
Have you ever seen the no foreigner sign?
No, I've never seen
that.
Yeah,
that's the only time I've ever seen one.
Oh, that's a surprise. I mean, I've gotten that. You know, I'm kind of lucky because, you know, since I look Asian, they don't initially think that I'm a foreigner, you know, but I've sort of gotten that. Like, kind of like, oh, should you be here kind of look, you know? It's kind of entertaining. But luckily, I've always been with, like, a girlfriend at the time, so it's like, you know, she can pass us through. It's like, oh, we're just a Japanese couple.
But maybe you don't get, like, the performance anxiety of having to speak English. Like, you know, like, if I even walk into, like, Mos Burger, the girl gets... kind of scared.
Yeah.
She thinks like, oh no, I have to speak English.
What did I learn at Nova?
Yeah.
How can I help you?
Usually they just, you know, they have the English menus and they just go, they show you, thank you. They show you the English menu immediately.
Yeah.
They try not to say anything.
Yep, good times, good times.
Good times.
So what are you, you're actually going to just go out there and look for a job or what?
I might, you know, I might try like a smaller school like, Amenity or Aeon or something like that. Or one of those things.
Oh, Aeon's pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, did you see, I think it was Eon. Eon was in the Yakuza 3 gameplay video that he was showing.
Oh, it was on the street?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I saw it. Eon A. Pylon.
Oh, funny.
There's like a big sign. I felt like yelling it out, but I don't care about the company that much. I work for them, but it doesn't mean I love them.
And you know, I thought it might be more fun to teach little kids, so I thought about Amenity, but they're the same company, of course, right?
Yeah. Same company, just, you know, slightly different division. That's it. I think they count as like a division of Eon.
Uh-huh.
So they're not actually like Eon Amenity.
So when you taught, you know, in Japan, you were basically like in those kind of places where people would come to you, right? Did you ever have to travel, say, to schools and teach?
Oh, I had this one job where I was actually dispatched to different companies, you know, like Fujifilm or, for example, Toyota, you know, Matsuda or whatever, you know, and I would teach lessons like during their lunch breaks.
Hmm.
Like they would give them like longer lunch breaks just so they could learn English, you know, and learn all about culture and stuff.
Hmm.
But I didn't do that for that long, maybe 6 months, I think. And it was part-time only. But it paid pretty well, and, you know, like, they pay for the travel fee, of course, and then... But it was kind of like a hassle, you know, because there was never, like, a regular schedule. It was always, like... I mean, you'd always be guaranteed a certain number of hours, but then the rest was, like, on-call, you know?
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's like, if someone else couldn't make it or whatever, they would say, like, hey, go down to whatever, Sony or whatever, you know. They give you the, okay, it's near this station, and someone will be there to pick you up. And,
oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, they would, you know, they would take you to lunch, or they would, like, buy you lunch at their cafeteria or something like that. Yeah. But, yeah, you're sort of... I mean, it's kind of obvious that you don't belong there. Well, that's kind of natural because, you know, it's not like you're there every day, right? But yeah, it's kind of interesting being in that culture, that corporate culture, you know, and you're not actually a part of it, but you're watching it all. It's like a big, like, zoo almost, you know? Everyone's running around trying to do things. It's pretty cool, though. I enjoyed that job. But I think that was... I don't think I ever had a job. No. Actually, one of the schools, the main school that I worked for, they had three branches, so I would be sent up to... I mean, my main branch was the Yokohama branch.
Uh-huh.
And they eventually kind of had me managed because they didn't have enough people to do it. But, you know, I'd been working there for a fair long time. But, you know, I would go up to their Ginza office or the Shinjuku office, you know, every once in a while if I had to, you know. So, yeah. I don't think that, I would say it's not really that common, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they want you to stay in one particular place.
Yeah.
Because they want, you know, they want consistency, you know. If you're going around different places, then you're just basically dealing with new students all the time.
Yeah, and they want you to bring in consistent customers.
Yeah, exactly.
If they like.
Yeah. That's a whole,
we don't want that guy.
That's a whole different story, too. Yeah, it's interesting, because some of the students will like you for different reasons. Some of them like you, you know, like, just because you're white.
Yeah.
You know, sad to say, you know. Some of them like, you know, the Asian students because they feel more comfortable around them, you know. Because they feel like, you know, whether, you know, we would want to admit it or not, you know, we have less anxiety when we're typically around our own kind, our own race, our own ethnicity, you know. So, especially if you're in a country that's so homogeneous, right? So yeah, I had a lot of students like who would love taking lessons from me. You know, I didn't think my lessons were all that better from anyone else's lessons, but just because they felt a lot more comfortable, and you know, I could speak some Japanese, so at least I could, you know, if I really had to explain something, I could, you know, explain some kind of grammar in Japanese, or at least be able to refer to Japanese to explain English. You know?
Yeah.
To be able to say, like, well, you know, in Japanese, you say it this way, we say it this way, it's a little different, you know, in English. So yeah, it was kind of fun. I enjoyed it a lot. I mean, that's why I'm going for the master's degree now, you know? I enjoy doing that.
Yeah, and then I've watched videos on YouTube where people have gotten to the JET program, and there's horror stories where they, like, this one girl, she got sent to Hokkaido, and she teaches at 5 different schools. Every day is a different school, and she has to drive.
That's crazy.
And they want, you know, like, depending on how the schools are, some schools want her to come in on the weekend, and she's like, oh, I can't come to all of you. Your school's on Saturdays.
Right. Yeah.
I gotta pick one. I can't do that.
Emma, they must, you know what they probably did was they probably took this, like a shotgun approach and just said, like, okay, we got these little small towns that need a teacher. So what we'll do is we'll situate that teacher in the middle of these towns and then she can just sort of make her rounds to all the schools, you know. That sucks. Like, yeah, it must be like those, not even towns, maybe villages even, you know, who knows. Because, yeah, I know Hokkaido still has some really small towns.
Maybe she's, like, teaching in Abashiri.
Yeah.
Next to the prison.
Abashiri Bangaichi. Teaching Ken Takakura.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, Ken, repeat after me. Dame omae.
I found a used CD at Amoeba one time of his songs. So I have all those songs. Like,
oh, really?
From all those movies, Abashiri Prison Song and all that.
Really? Wow. Was it just one CD and it's like a box? Greatest
Hits? It's a collection.
Oh, okay.
You know, and it's like, the picture is him, like, in his coat, and it's like, turned sideways in a silhouette, and it's red behind him. It's
that,
so cool.
That typical onerous Yakuza type of look. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, you gotta try to burn that.
Yeah, I'll bring you a copy.
I appreciate that.
So funny. Yeah, they're all the songs are just like that one song for the Abashiri Prison series. They're all always like kind of sad, melancholy.
Mother, I did wrong. I'm sorry, but I have to kill some other motherfucking Yakuza guy. Yeah, I've been trying to, you ever heard of Wild Ground? Yeah. They posted a bunch of their, posted a bunch of Japanese, soundtracks.
Yeah,
Yeah, I've been trying to look for more of those. It's hard to find them, you know?
And some of them are out of print now.
Yeah, well, it's definitely out of print, yeah.
And I checked, they're connected with that magazine, right?
I don't know if they are or not.
Oh, okay, because there's a magazine connected or something. I don't know what it is, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure, actually. I mean, I have all those CDs from that one magazine that, what's it called? You know what I'm talking about, right?
I can't think of the title of it now.
Yeah, me neither.
It's a Hot Track? No,
Hot Track. Yeah, was it Hot Track? Something Tracks, isn't it? Hot Wax. Hot Wax, isn't it?
Hot Wax.
Hot Wax, I think. Maybe.
Yeah, all those are really good.
Yeah, they are.
And, you know, they have the magazines at Kinokuniya at one time, and then they have, like, at the time they had, like, 7 of them, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I thought, oh, yeah, and so me and my friend, we went to lunch, and then I thought, oh, I forgot to go back and get one of these magazines. I went back the next day, they're all gone, and then they haven't ordered them again. Yeah. And I asked some guy at the counter about order, and he's like, oh, I didn't know if we can order them. Because we got out of print.
How do they get them?
Huh?
How do they get them? You mean they can't order, like, it might be out of print.
Back order or something. They probably were sitting there for months, and I just never seen them.
Yeah, could be.
And then they moved the store around. Mm-hmm. And that was just when they had put in that new level, and I was like, maybe they're in this.
She's getting the hype. Zashi Hapioda. But
and then those other comp, there's another compilation that are called. What's that
one? Oh, is that the one, the J something series?
I think so.
I don't know if it's J film or something.
Yeah, There's one for was it Shishido Joe one or something like that?
Yeah, right.
Those are really good too. And there's one that's all GS sounds from from
from
action films.
Yeah, I have a couple of those.
Those are really good.
I have the burn version, so. The written version, I should say. Yeah, it's hard to find the soundtrack, too. I search all the time.
I mean, a lot of them are just little companies that put them out.
So yeah, I know. That's the problem. I wonder if... Because, like, in the U.S., you know, not necessarily every movie gets a soundtrack, you know, because a lot of the indie stuff, you know, they can't really bother doing it. Or nowadays, you know, they can because of, you know, like Amazon MP3 or iTunes or whatever. But I wonder if, like, that was the case with Japanese movies, too. Because, I mean, it's like, it seems like there are a couple soundtracks that, you know, no matter how long I look for them, I've never seen, like, one mention of them. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they were, like, fairly big movies, too, you know? I mean, they were from the late 70s, you know, so... Which was, like, a bad period for Japanese film. But still, like, I never once, you know... I've searched the Japanese interwebs so often.
You gotta go to flea markets.
Yeah, I guess so. I have to go to Japanese flea markets. Maybe.
Yeah.
Or you never know, you know, I mean, get some of them, those Japanese that move over here, you know, bring them their record collection.
Oh, yeah. Well, I said, you know, I went to one flea market on a Sunday in Japan, in Kyoto, at the, like, Toji Temple, and then they had the people that had stuff, they had all kinds of kimonos and everything, like old movie posters, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it was just overload. I couldn't spend any money, so I wasn't even afraid to look.
Don't look. We'll probably end up giving all my money to them.
Yeah, uh-huh. And then you the whole, you know, you might be sitting at some rental place, too, CD rental place.
Oh, yeah. I've done that millions of times, just gone through their racks. Yeah, tried to look for stuff.
It's all after the 10th Kamasaki Yumi CD.
Kodakun. No, even worse, you get those old idol groups. The ones that are not like kitschy.
You mean like Wink or something like that?
Yeah, or like Coco, you know, that was popular in like the early late 80s, early 90s, you know? Oh, God.
Some old Smop singles.
Yeah. Back when they could or couldn't sing, I don't know.
Or back when they had like a fifth member or something at one time.
Did they have a fifth member?
Yeah, a guy left. He wanted to become a race car driver.
Oh. I wonder how that worked out for him. Considering how, you know, SMAP was so like everywhere at one time. I don't know are they still really popular, like on TV and stuff like
that? They still have their own TV show.
SMAP or whatever?
Yeah, well, there's, you know, there's that SMAP show, and then there's, there's, you know, a small bistro where they cook.
That's
part of that.
Sure.
And then there's Utoban.
What's that?
It's like a comedy deal. It's like one of the guys from SMAP and some other comedy guy, and they bring people and they interview new and upcoming artists.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Uh-huh. It's just like a variety show.
Yeah. And then there's SMAP Station.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, too.
It's a learning English show with Katori Shingo.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
Yeah.
His English was horrible.
He had a book, or maybe he has, like, five or six by now. He had a book for
learning English book,
Yeah, one of my students brought that into class one time, and I was looking at it, and I'm like, I told him, you know, of course I was just joking. I said, I can teach you anything in this book, you know, just choose something out, and I'll teach you, like, how to say it, and, like, how to... Like what the grammar is and stuff, you know. So it's kind of funny. I used to base like one lesson a week off of one of the pages from that book.
Oh no! But you know, like I used to watch that TV show because I'm like an internet. You know, do you know about the programs to watch like TV on the internet and stuff like that?
Yeah. Like that
Keyhole Video or Fresh Verse. Yeah.
Fresh Verse. Yeah.
Anyway, you know, like I watched the show from the beginning, and I've kind of watched it a little bit now, and it's funny because. At first, he had sections where he actually practiced English, and his English never progressed at all. It just seemed to get worse. And now, like, the whole focus is off him learning English, and he doesn't even speak English on the show.
Really?
Once in a while, he has a catchphrase. He'll say, like, okay! Yeah. Like, you know, something like,
oh my god!
Wow! Yeah. But now it's just all news. They focus on, like, that's issues in America.
I guess that's kind of interesting. But it's in Japanese.
Yeah, it's in Japanese. Yeah. But he'll talk about it. Like, oh.
Didn't he also have a show where he was going to try to, like, learn Korean, too? No, that was Kusanagi, right?
Yeah, Kusanagi, the one that got naked in the park.
Yeah, that's right.
And they need all the sponsors pulled him.
Oh, really?
Because he's a big sponsor for that. Because they're doing that digital transition in Japan.
Yeah, right.
For 2011, right? And you watch TV, it's still on. Like, watch out, 2011 is going to happen in the digital transition. So he was like the mascot or whatever.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, because it was such a big deal here in America. Like, hardly anyone even knew, you know? Yeah, in fact, it's like, you know, I work at a library where, you know, you're going to hear every kind of news, you know, and every kind of complaint about the government or whatever, just because it's like people assume that if you work at a library, it's like you're a bartender, you know, they're just going to pour all this stuff on you. I remember not once anyone ever commented about the big digital transition, you know?
People were really worried about you losing those UHF channels.
Yeah, I guess so. Man.
I can't tune in channel 36 anymore on my tuner.
Yeah. Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I'm wondering if there was one show I used to really like to watch late night over there, you know, after getting home from work. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It was called I Know April.
No, who was in it? You know who was in it?
I forget the name of the guy, but he was sort of like, I think he, maybe he was an idol at one time, but anyway, the theme of the show is they get, let's say, three actresses or three idols or whatever, and they give them a menu that they have to cook. You know, like, you have to, like, the theme might be, like, say, Chinese food, so you have to cook, you know, they'll have to do, like, fried rice and, sweet and sour, like, shrimp or whatever, you know, whatever. They give them this menu. And then this professional chef will actually do it. And he'll kind of, like, show them how to do it, you know? Like, he'll cook it up and he'll say, like, okay, this is what you do, blah, 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 blah. And then they tell the three that are waiting, they'll say, okay, now you guys do it, you know? So they have to do it kind of, like, from memory, you know? And so, you know, these are idol, right? And, you know, they're generally not known for their homemaking skills, you know, whatever. So they'll cook it up, you know, and they'll, of course, make their stupid mistakes and stuff. And then in the end, they have this panel, you know, and one of them's the host, and there are two hosts. There's one man, one woman. And then one is a famous food critic. I don't remember his name, but... And then they'll have one, like, guest host, too. And they'll all go through and eat the dishes, you know, that the girls have made. Oh, my God. They just, like, tear them to pieces. They'll be like... Like the, you know, like on Japanese TV shows involving food, everything tastes good. Right?
Like, everything tastes
good. The host will never, the worst comment I've ever heard one of those hosts make about food was, oboshiroi.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Which is, you know, it could mean good or it could mean bad, right? Uh-huh. We don't know, just like Japanese, in English, when we say, oh, that's interesting, you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But on this show, like, they'll straight up go, like, I mean, they'll eat it, and they'll show the reaction. A lot of times, like, there's this one girl who, when she, the one host, who's the woman, if she eats something that's really, really disgusting, she'll make this kind of, what do we call it in English? Squint?
Oh.
Shimi? Yes. Yeah, in Japanese. You go like, and it's really, like, tight.
Oh, no.
You know? And they really, the camera focuses on, oh, you know, no. Like, it, like... It takes the deep focus and goes to it. It's hilarious. And at the end, they'll rate them. And what they do is the whole, you know, they'll have like a hierarchical rating system, right? But what they do is they use the whole TV studio. Oh. So like the highest rating will be like, you know, there's this picture of like a mountain. They can, they'll put, if your food is really good, they'll put your name up on top of the mountain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, name card. But if it's not good, like sometimes, like if something was really terrible, the host would take the name card and they'd like run out of the studio, go into another studio, and put the name down and say like, "This is how bad it was." Yeah, it was a funny show. I really enjoyed it. It's like one of the few shows where like. Because some of the girls would really like cry and stuff. Oh. It hurts their feelings. Yeah. So it's like one of the few shows that I saw that, you know, which like, in which food was like dealt with really honestly, you know? Because, you know, like I said, it's usually like, oh, is she mine? You know, and deep down inside they're probably thinking, oh God, what is this?
Well, you've seen Smart Bistro, and there was a big, big thing about that show because somebody said that.
I think it closed out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Go ahead. Though.
Said that they were cooking.
For real. Oh, right.
Being prepared in the back.
Right.
Because the things that they have to make are totally beyond their skill.
Right.
Because it's oftentimes that somebody famous shows up and they'll say, "Oh, I want, you know, Italian and Japanese food combined, and I want you to use caviar somewhere in the dish."
It's like, you know, like, yeah, okay, good luck. I'll show you where that restaurant is.
So.
Thanks.
You know, and they're done so fast on that show.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, well, cut to the shindo, like you can cook like that.
Yeah, I wonder why they even try to, you know, hide that anyway. You know, it's like the cooking shows here in the U.S., you know, a lot of time they have it pre-prepared, you know. Uh-huh. They're not going to wait around for 2 hours or whatever, however long to bake a turkey or whatever.
You know, and then like the guest will ask, will say what he wants, and then they happen to have all those ingredients there,
yeah,
like eggplant and so special
stuff.
Oh,
what a coincidence! I just happen to have caviar. It's left over from my lunch. Where'd you park anyway?
Downstairs.